Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for this hour, because we have with us a very special guest from England. His name is Tony Bennett, and we're going to be talking about the European Union. We're going to be talking about the fact that in England and throughout Europe, there's a growing hatred of America and our policies, and of course, throughout England and America, the Christian movement is simply been pretty well removed. There are a few people who still cling to the faith of their fathers, but this seems to be increasingly a remembrance of things past. Well, of course, Mr. Bennett and the group he works with, which is an independent party in England, are actually having a tremendous influence over there, because there's growing unrest, there's growing opposition to the European Union, which I'm sure Mr. Bennett and the people he works with understand is truly a satanic movement. This whole thing is to take Europe back to the days of Nimrod, and in fact, even their symbol that they have, the poster that they use for the European Union, is a picture of the Temple of Babylon, and of course there you'll see the occult upside-down stars, grotesque stars. Every occultist understands the significance. Tragically, most people don't. Mr. Bennett, thank you so much for being with us today.
Good afternoon.
Thank you so much. Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and how it was that you came to be involved with the independent party that is opposing England going into this European Union?
I'd better start by telling you that I'm 56 years old, English born, although I have a Croatian mother. And really the story of my interest in the European Union began about 10 years ago when I was converted to Christ. And I'm now a Bible-believing Christian. And it was really after that event that I began investigating the history of our country, which is very much tied up with the Christian faith, of course, for the last, most of the last 2,000 years. And I then began investigating the European Union and discovered that we were giving away a great deal of our independence, bit by bit, to the European Union. And I was particularly interested in that because we have a constitution in our country that is explicitly Protestant. That was given to us really from 1688, when the country finally broke away from Roman Catholicism. And I see our Protestant heritage at risk from a Roman Catholic dominated European Union. And for the past 7 years, Dr. Monteith, I've been a member of the UK Independence Party, party which explicitly believes that Britain would be better off regaining its independence and leaving the European Union.
Well, of course, the thing is that even though there may be many Catholics involved, this is really not primarily a Catholic movement, is it? The move towards uniting Europe? Is it a religious movement? My impression is it is really a satanic movement, not necessarily being pushed by the average Catholic anyway.
Well, I think you have to look at the founding fathers of the European Union. See, there's always been a very close association between the Roman Catholic Church and the political movement to found the European Union.
Hold that thought right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest this afternoon is Tony Bennett. He's with the UK Independence Unit party. It's a party there in Great Britain that is opposing England going into the European Union. Now, you've actually, the Independence Party really is having a growing influence there in Great Britain, isn't it?
Well, we founded in 1993, 11 years ago, for the simple reason that none of the mainstream parties were offering people the choice of us coming out of the European Union. And it was a long time before the party gained any realistic number of votes. 5 years ago, we put up candidates for the European Parliament elections, and to the surprise of many people, we got 7% of the vote and 3 seats in the European Parliament. That was really our first electoral success. Now, only last month we stood again in the European elections, which come up every 5 years, and to the astonishment of many people, we more than doubled our vote to nearly 17% and have now got 12 MEPs in the Parliament instead of 3. In fact, we're now the third largest party in Britain in the European Parliament. So that's a very big advance. We had nearly 3 million people vote for us.
Now, basically, out of how many people voting then?
17%, that's 3 million out of roughly, shall we say, 17, 18 million voting.
All right, fine. And I think it's really fascinating that a third party is beginning to have an impact there, because the average British citizen really doesn't want to become part of a European Union, does he?
Well, let me go back to 1973 when we joined. That was the moment that Britain became part of what was then the European Community and is now called the European Union. Now, we weren't formally consulted about that, but 2 years later, we had a referendum when the question was, do you want to stay in the common market? And at that time, over 60% of people said, yes, let's stay in the common market. But, of course, in those days, we were told that the whole thing was merely an economic trading agreement.
But they really weren't being honest with you, were they? I mean, they knew eventually the plan was to take you into a common currency, into a common government, and the loss of all sovereignty. But weren't they lying to the British people at that time?
Well, I have to say to you, Dr. Monteith, and I don't like to accuse other people of lying, but with the benefit of hindsight, they were deliberate. Nice.
Hold that thought there.
That.
All right, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Tony Bennett, who's with the Independence Party of over in England, and he was saying that that back in some 17 or so years ago, when Great Britain went into the what was the year you went into the common market?
1973.
So that's almost 30 years ago. They told, oh, this is only for trade. You know, this is not going to be a government. This is not going to lose national sovereignty. This is not going to have a common currency. None of those things. These are fear mongers. You know, all this is to facilitate trade, and certainly trade is going to bring prosperity to everybody. And so I asked Mr. Bennett, well, weren't they lying to you? And he said, well, he didn't like to accuse anybody of lying, but obviously they weren't telling the truth. So you pick up the story there.
Well, in fact, one of the people who took us into the European Union, Sir Edward Heath, the person who did lead us in there, conceded in a television program in 1990 that he had lied, because he was asked specifically, did he know that the whole project was going to unfold into a bid to become a super state? And he said, and I quote, of course I did, yes, which was the admission on national television that he had lied to the people. Now, we've reached a situation now where if we had a referendum on coming out of the European Union, probably would be very close. People are nervous of perhaps leaving the European Union, coming out, but now opinion is very divided, and as I say, 3 million people voting for our party last month is an indication that a lot of people are now ready to come right out of the European Union.
Well, I think, you know, we can carry this over to the United States, and we're being told, well, we have this, the Central American Free Trade Association, we have this Free Trade Association of the Americas. It's only about, you know, trade, and think of all the markets down there, think of all the things we can sell to those people. Well, that's how they got us into NAFTA, where we had, of course, a trade surplus with Mexico before NAFTA, now we have a trade deficit with Mexico. But this is simply the first step in the United States. First, we'll have free trade, and then we will, of course, have a common currency, and then we will have a common government, and we will lose all of our sovereignty, and then we will merge the European Union, probably the American Union, and the Asian Union, and maybe there'll be an African Union, we don't know, but this is what the real plan is. But they have to lie to the American people, and they've been lying for a long time, and the leaders of both political parties have this as their agenda here in the United States. And we have to learn from what's happened in Great Britain, that the leaders lie to the people. And it doesn't matter whether they're Democratic leaders or Republican leaders, the leaders of both political parties know exactly what globalism is all about. They just can't let the American people know. Mr. Bennett, did they promise you that with the open and free trade that Britain would prosper and everybody would do well, and this was going to give you all those markets that you could get into?
Oh, yes. The argument was an economic one, without a doubt. We were told that it would benefit our trade, we'd all be better off, and so on. But, of course, one of the things that we weren't told, and we've now learned, is that a body of law has been built up which permanently removes our independence. If I can just explain to your listeners, it's called the Acquis Communautaire, and that's French for community acquisition, and putting it in plain English or plain American, it means that a body of law is drawn up which gives the European institutions permanent, irrevocable power over various aspects of our economy. So in other words, once we've given the European Union the ability to conduct trade, to run agriculture, to take our fishing grounds, to run economic policy, education policy, they have the lawmaking power in those areas permanently and forever. We can never get them back, which is precisely why in our party we argue the case for coming right out. No half measures. No staying in there and tinkering about, because they have got these legal powers and they are extending them year by year, month by month, week by week. There is only one answer to retain our independence, and that is to come right out of it.
And, of course, do the British people understand what loss of national sovereignty will mean as far as their individual freedom is concerned?
Well, can I make a comment on that? Just
certainly.
Take the discussion in a slightly different direction.
Right.
Unfortunately, what happened in the last 50 years is that, for one reason or another, and I'm sure you'll understand this in America as well, people's interests have moved away from politics, and they've moved into sport, they've moved into entertainment, they've moved into enjoying themselves, going out playing bingo, entertainment, going out of an evening. All of these things are celebrities as well, interest in celebrities. All of this means that people are not so bothered about these things. They'd rather not talk politics, a lot of them. So we have a very strong case, but we find that people say, well, that's politics, I don't want to talk about that. I've got other things to do with my life. So the atmosphere, if you like, is people are careless about the future. They don't really want to get into the discussion about these things. So that makes it more difficult, perhaps, for us to explain just how serious the loss of sovereignty is.
Well, now, how are you reaching the people? Are you reaching them through the newspapers? Are you reaching them through television or radio or passing out pamphlets or mail? How do you reach the people with the truth in Great Britain?
Well, very good question. I would like to say to you that the main media in this country are unsympathetic to our cause in relation to coming out of the European Union.
You've got the same problem we do.
Some of the press sympathise with our opposition to the single currency, for example, but they're not with us yet on the coming out of the European Union. Now, that's particularly marked with what I would call our state broadcasting company, the BBC. I don't think you have a parallel in the United States, but we have a politically controlled BBC, which is very strongly globalist, internationalist, pro-European Union, and we cannot get our message across on the state broadcasting channel. Now, that means that we do indeed resort to the written word pamphlets. We're great pamphleteers, always putting leaflets through doors. The chap who arranged this program for us, a chap called Robert Theobald in England, for many years had a huge warehouse full of leaflets, and people all around the country would get leaflets from him, put them through doors, and that's how we put our message across. And of course people respond, because they realise that in fact we are giving them some real facts which the politicians have withheld from them.
Well, here in the United States, we have our public broadcasting. It's probably not as dominant as BBC is, but it certainly is a radical left-wing organization that does not allow both sides to be heard, but then neither do ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, or really most of our major television networks here in the United States. Five major corporations control 95% of our media, and in effect control what the American people think, but we do have a number of independent radio stations still, although they're being rapidly bought up, and we at least have here the internet, and we do have talk radio as a means of disseminating information. What about the internet over in England? Do you have that still?
Well, the internet is, on the whole, still very much used, I would say, by the wealthier middle class section of the population. It's a good way of picking up news, but it's not the way of carrying a mass message at the moment, certainly. I would just like to mention one little rather novel way in which we managed to communicate to the people very successfully. We devised a little campaign last year about the fact that we were being denied a referendum on the imposition of the European Constitution. And without doubt, the European Constitution would mean the complete end of the United Kingdom as a separate nation. Now, we managed to force the government to concede that by devising a simple postcard campaign. And what we did was we printed out postcards en masse and invited people to send these postcards to our Queen, asking the Queen to intervene and force the Prime Minister, Blair, to grant us a referendum. Now, that was very successful. We got tens of thousands, then hundreds of thousands of people to send off these nice little purple postcards, and without a doubt they made an impact. There were other similar campaigns, petitions of all kinds and so on, and in the end, as you may know, about 3 months ago, Tony Blair very surprisingly conceded a referendum and said, OK, you'll have a referendum on the Constitution. And that was people pressure, without a doubt. The people rising up and saying, look, we want to have our say. We don't want you to impose this European Constitution on us. We want a vote on it. We're going to get a vote on it.
Oh, you haven't had the vote yet?
No, the vote will take place no later than December 2006.
Now, my understanding is that Tony Blair is in real trouble. That you know, in some of the intermediate elections, he's been losing a lot of support. Many of the areas really are turning against him. His overall support among the British people is certainly no longer majority. Would that be a fair statement?
I'm not sure that it would. I'd like to say that it was, but I don't know if you have the term Teflon in America.
Yes, we do. We used to refer to President Clinton as the Teflon president.
We call him Teflon Tony. So yeah, I believe your former president was called Teflon with good reason, I think. But we call him Teflon Tony. He does seem to get into some scrapes, but he seems to emerge a week later as if though nothing had happened. It's really quite remarkable. He's not terribly popular at the moment, but there is no real alternative. The rival party, the Conservative Party, is in disarray as well.
Well, of course,
the prospect of unseating Tony Blair is not strong at the moment.
All right, you hold that thought there. We'll be back here in just a moment. But you obviously have the same problem we do. You have two parties controlled by pretty much the same people. They pretend to be opposing one another, but there is no effective opposition to the idea of globalism, the New World Order, the New World Religion. We'll be right back here with Mr. Tony Bennett.
Really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, Inward to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. 4,000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course there is a growing resistance in England to this globalization program, taking England into the European Union. And of course this is a dream. It has been a dream around for a long time, but what people have missed is the fact that most of the wars of the last century that plagued Europe were actually created by the very people who wanted this world government, and they knew only out of the carnage could there come this uniting of Europe, and so they prolonged the wars, they created the wars, and the terrible suffering, and now, of course, their dream is coming to pass, but do you see behind this movement towards world government strong occultic forces?
You're asking me?
Yes.
Well, I'm a Christian, and I read my Bible, and I see in the Bible that there will indeed come a final conflict between the forces of good and forces of evil. Now, I think we can indeed see signs of a return to world government, and I look at Genesis chapter 11, and I read the story of how Nimrod tried to unite the world as was in Babel. And I read how God intervened to stop the spread of evil by coming down, giving the peoples different languages and scattering them over the face of the earth. Now that was a very, very important lesson for all people, because God said that in order for evil not to flourish to such a great extent, we should live in separate nations with their own languages. And of course the people who think of themselves as wise in this world disagree with that, and they think that world government is a great thing. And in fact, they're so cheeky about it, as you pointed out in the introduction to the program, that the European Union, which is, I suppose, the biggest globalist project that we've got on the earth at the moment, actually adopts the very symbols which warn against this world government. So, for example, the European Parliament in Strasbourg, the design of it in France, is actually moulded on a painting of the Tower of Babel.
Now the whole building, the architecture of this building, is built and designed after the Tower of Babel. They understand the spiritual significance, but the average person in Europe doesn't.
You see, there was a stamp brought out in 1984 in the United Kingdom, in Europe, and this was after the European Parliament had been established in 1979 and been going for 5 years, and they struck a stamp, printed a stamp to commemorate 5 years of the European Union. Now that was of a woman riding the beast, and we could all go out and buy stamps of a woman riding on the beast. Now we have coins with a woman riding on the beast, so it goes on. So they know, it's almost as if though they're deliberately cocking a snook at God, cocking a snook at the Bible. They've got their own plans, and of course, unfortunately for them, in the end, they'll come to nothing. And,
but
of course,
in the meantime, they can create an awful lot of suffering. They can wreak terrible havoc upon the people, not only of Great Britain, but the people of Europe.
Indeed, but of course people cannot see it, because I suppose you have to say that the Bible is the source of light, and without that source of light people are in darkness, and so they are easily deceived. And as I say, people these days are not interested in the Word of God, they're not interested in political subjects, they're interested in what they can get out of life, entertainment, celebrities, sports and so on, and in those conditions they don't see what's coming. And is that rather not like the situation in Judah before Judah fell in 587 BC? Very similar situation. Jeremiah and the prophets were saying, look, disaster is going to befall you unless you mend your ways. And he was ignored, and they went on their own sweet way, ignoring God, ignoring his prophecy. And of course then Jerusalem fell, Judah fell, and practically all the Jewish people were expelled, taken into Babylon, and they were there for 70 years.
Right, those who weren't slaughtered in the process, and that's a great tragedy, is because the people of Israel turned their back on God, or the people of Judah turned their back on God. Why, God abandoned them to their fate. In fact, he even brought the Babylonians in to take them away, and God actually intervened to bring punishment on these people who turned their back against him. Is there any question that the people of England, that the people of America turned their back on God? I think you would have to be blind and deaf not to realize how this is taking place, how this is unfolding, and behind this whole move towards the New World Order, the New World Religion, are the powerful spiritual forces of the prince of this world. And the prince of this world is Satan. And people say, oh, well, you know, don't give him so much credit. Ladies and gentlemen, he has the credit because he has the power. God's given it to him. And, of course, we could oppose it, and we don't. We'll be back in just a moment.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, and we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Tony Bennett, who is with the Independence Party in Great Britain. And if you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Now, one thing we have in the United States that's really is helping to disseminate information is what we refer to as alternative radio. And people like myself, who are heard on dozens of stations across America, do you have anything comparable in Great Britain where people can get on the radio and really bring the truth out about what's going on?
In a word, no, not on the radio. I once had the privilege of going to the United States. We went to Wisconsin for 10 days holiday, and I was amazed at the number of programs on the radio. Absolutely amazed. A number of Christian programs as well. It's not the same in the United Kingdom. Only one Christian radio station in the country is permitted, and that is in London, and even that is very strictly watched and monitored. And you're certainly not allowed to set up radio stations and broadcast what you like. So Our situation is very different there as far as radio is concerned. We're certainly able to get our message across in writing by pamphlets and leaflets and so on. But not on the radio, Dr. Stan, no.
Now, do you have, you don't have the internet radio like we have here, do you?
Well, yes, we do have it, but it's probably not in so great use as it is in the United States. It's not common for people to listen to internet radio. It's developing, but not that common yet.
Well, does the average person in Great Britain have a computer? Because here the average person does have a computer. Even children have computers in their own rooms. Computers are just so common here in the United States. Is that true in Great Britain or not?
Well, I would suppose the majority of homes do have computers now. Some homes tend to be used for computer games, maybe by children and what have you. A lot of homes are still without computers, that's for sure. A lot of older people don't have computers, for example. There's a lot of older people in Britain who would not have a computer. It is developing, but I would say that people, you know, they read the newspapers and they listen to the radio and watch TV rather than get their news off the internet. There is one thing I would like to just introduce into the conversation. That is the beginnings of some persecution of Christians in the United Kingdom. I'm not quite sure what that situation is like in the United States, but we are getting signs now of Christians being picked up and monitored for speaking the truth as they see it in the Bible. For example, in the last few weeks, a couple of preachers were stopped preaching on the streets. And in fact, one of them was arrested and prosecuted. Charges were withdrawn in the end, but we have a Public Order Act in 1986 which bans you from saying insulting or offensive words in public. And whereas in the past, Dr. Stan, it would not have been considered offensive to preach in public on the street and so on, it seems some people are taking offence now. And the police seem to be monitoring the activities of Christians and being ready to arrest them. We had a famous case 2 years ago where a man was preaching in one of our cities on the coast against homosexuality and was surrounded within minutes by a group of very angry homosexuals, pelted by them, knocked to the ground, and the end result of that was that the preacher was arrested and carted off to prison. And the homosexuals who assaulted him went off scot-free. So that gives you a little illustration, perhaps, of how the climate of opinion is changing in this country.
Well, of course, there is no instance in all history where a nation has embraced homosexuality where that nation has not eventually been destroyed, where God has not eventually led to that nation's destruction, because the practices of homosexuality are totally abhorrent to God and are embraced by every Satanist, certainly Aleister Crowley, who was known as the other beast, the other Loch Ness monster, was deeply involved in this sort of thing, and even wrote about how this was something that Satan glorified in, and yet of course it's becoming commonplace in your country today and increasingly in our country as well.
Well, now the thing that you've just said about homosexuality, which I agree with, now if you said those things in Britain, first of all you might be liable to arrest, and it may well be that with those views you wouldn't be able to get jobs in the public services either, because we have a non-discrimination policy on people with different sexual orientation, and that means that it's very difficult to get a job in the public services if you in any way condemn homosexuality. For example, last year again, two adoption workers were overheard over coffee saying that they did not support placing children with homosexual adopters. Now, they were disciplined and removed from adoption work just for giving those thoughts over coffee. So you can see perhaps how the homosexual lobby is very much dominant at the moment, and people who may sincerely believe that God intended us to marry man and woman, have children, are no longer free to say that.
Well, I think it was a tragic situation where in Great Britain, at one time, the value of freedom of speech was so much a part of the English. The English, at the time of the American Revolution, many of the people there were extremely critical of the King of England, of King George, for suppressing the rights of the people of the colonies. The English heritage has always been one of embracing freedom, and it seems now that the modern-day Englishman is quite willing to forego the freedom that his forefathers fought so valiantly for the comforts of the good life, and yet, of course, if people are not willing to stand and fight for freedom, and I'm not talking about taking up arms, but being involved with speaking out against unrighteousness, even if it means they're going to be arrested, soon all freedom will be lost.
Well, another way our freedom of speech is being restricted is in, and I'll be specific here, about criticism of Islam. Now, Islam is a sensitive issue here as it is in the United States. We have a Muslim population of maybe around 2.5 million in this country, about maybe 1 in 25%, something like that. Now, a very vocal minority, and of course there have been hundreds of Muslims picked up in the last year or two on suspicion of terrorist charges, and in fact a couple of British-born Muslims went to Israel as suicide bombers. Very shocking events. But if you try to criticize Islam in this country, you'll be very rapidly accused by the authorities of something called Islamophobia. Have you come across that?
No, we haven't had that yet. We have homophobia here, but we haven't been infected with that Islamophobia.
Well, I have been called an Islamophobe for criticizing the Islamic religion. I've also been called a homophobe for criticizing homosexuality. I've been called a Europhobe or opposing the European Union.
Have you ever noticed how the other side always wanted to demonize people when they really can't criticize their views any other way? They just end up calling names.
Indeed. The abuse of opponents and the calling of names becoming very, very common now. The political leaders of this country are accusing opponents by using all kinds of labels, and even when it comes to something like the rate of immigration, for example. Now, the typical English person is as unracist as you could get on this earth, I think. We have got a very tolerant streak, as I'm sure you appreciate. But in some areas of the country, immigration is a very big issue, particularly in areas where large numbers of native people are side by side with large Asian populations. It's a sensitive issue. And when people speak out, they are accused of being racist. Now, being racist is a very different thing from being concerned about the level of immigration into your country. That is a legitimate subject of debate, honest debate. We all condemn racists who are supremacists and who are racially prejudiced. We all condemn that. It's certainly not Christian. But equally, we ought to be free to speak our mind on immigration and the rate of immigration, but the moment we do, that we get this word racist.
And of course, if you go into Pakistan today, and you try to mention Jesus Christ or have a Bible or display a cross, why, they will arrest you and maybe kill you. But nobody is critical of them. The same thing holds true for Saudi Arabia and for so many of the Muslim countries. And yet, nobody speaks out against that. But if you were to speak out against the Muslim religion, and the fact that many Muslims are dedicated to the destruction of freedom and free society because they really want a Muslim theocracy throughout Europe, why, immediately, you are the racist? That's ridiculous. We ought to be able to discuss ideas without calling names, but the other side really doesn't have issues that they can discuss intelligently because they cannot defend their position, and like little boys in school, they have to resort to name-calling.
You see, I think we have to speak up against evil wherever we find it. Now, in the 1930s, some people spoke up against Hitler when he was on the rise in Germany. Nowadays, probably the most serious threat to the safety of individuals in Britain is Islamic terrorists. And it's been very much in the news in the last 2 days. Now, it's a very sad world if we cannot speak up against a really almost unspeakable evil. People who are in our country who want to harm us. and who don't care about the consequences. They are terrorists, and they will stop at nothing, even being suicide bombers, to achieve their ends. Filled with hate. Now, I don't want to exaggerate this, because there are not tens of thousands of people like that, but there are enough of those people in this country to cause serious damage, as they did in the United States.
Amen to that. Well, let's go to Daryl, who's calling us from Pennsylvania. Daryl, did you have a question for our guest?
I have a comment, and I would like him to make a comment about my comment. When I was stationed in Germany, I found that many Europeans, of course, knew much more about world history and European history than Americans do. And I also found that often, sad to say, that they knew more about American history than many Americans that I've run into. And things like the 30 Years' War, the Congress of Vienna, the Congress of Verona, the Counter-Reformation, the Gunpowder Plot, the Spanish Armada in 1588, and other Jesuit intrigues. Would you agree with me that I feel that many Americans are missing a big piece of the New World Order puzzle when they remain ignorant of the Vatican's involvement in European and world politics throughout history?
Well, responding to that, I would say that the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, is the biggest and most powerful political organization in the world. I would describe it as a political organization ahead of being a religious organization. And I think some historian once said that no world event can be properly understood without knowing the Vatican's role in the matter, and which is why at the beginning of this program I mentioned Roman Catholic involvement in the European Union. And it's no accident that three of the people who founded the European Union are now being beatified by the Pope with a view to becoming saints.
But don't you think there are many? Don't you think that there are many Roman Catholics who are simply want to live their lives, are not involved in any sort of a plot for a new world order?
Yes, there are many sincere Roman Catholics who want nothing to do with the political pretensions of the Pope, and in fact who are very loyal citizens in this country. Nevertheless, it has to be pointed out that the Vatican is making saints of some of the people who founded the very European Union, and a lot of the symbols are Catholic symbols. Now, I must tell you that the main symbol of the European Union is a flag with 12 yellow stars. Now, that is based on the Roman Catholic interpretation of Revelation 12, verses 1 to 2, where they talk about the woman surrounded with a circle of stars. Now, that is based on the Roman Catholic misinterpretation, misunderstanding of those two verses.
But don't you think, of course, that there are satanic forces working within the Roman Catholic churches, but there are also satanic forces working within the Protestant churches as well?
Unfortunately, that's the case now.
And unfortunately, we are involved in a spiritual battle where the same satanic forces have infiltrated the Jewish religion, they've infiltrated many of our organizations and our government and our music, and every aspect of our society is pretty under attack by what I believe are truly satanic forces. Would you agree with that? And certainly I know you're concerned about this Vatican influence, but are you concerned about the fact that we find the same thing with the Masonic influence within the Protestant Church?
Well, yes. Obviously the Bible speaks about Satan as a real individual, a real entity. The one thought that occurs to me is that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light.
Right.
And for those not familiar with that concept, who might be listening, that means that Satan likes to appear in a good light and tries to copy people who might be seen in a good light. And the Roman Catholic Church, I would have to say, is a classic example in that it appears to be an upstanding religious institution. And yet, a lot of the Roman Catholic ministers, as you well know from the appalling child abuse scandals in the United States, are far from the godly ministers that they make themselves out to be. So, and I think it's also true, of course, that the Protestant churches are very much affected at the moment and have departed from the true way of the Bible.
In fact, we have one of the archbishops of the, I think, the evangelical, pardon me, the of the one of our major churches here, you know, on CBS 60 Minutes on Sunday night, Episcopalian Church. He's a practicing homosexual, and he's one of the leaders of the Episcopalian Church. What madness is this? Let's go to Roger. Roger, we're just about out of time. Do you have a quick question?
Yeah, thanks, Jen. Do you see, even having been said already, still, are there any vocal sectors of Roman Catholicism that are against the EU?
Yes, there. Well, certainly, we know here in the United States that some of our very good Catholic friends opposing our policies. What about over there? Do you have any allies within the Catholic Church working against the European Union, helping you?
Very, very few in this country. But it's an interesting point that your listener has made, and I can answer that by an interesting development in Poland. Now, Poland, as you probably know, is 95% Roman Catholic. Very, very strong Roman Catholic country, probably the strongest in the whole of Europe. Now, the Polish people are very much divided on the European Union. Now, up to now, the main party in Poland has been the Roman Catholic Party supporting the European Union. But guess what? The Roman Catholics have actually founded an anti-EU party as well. So they've got their fingers in both pies now. So they're heading up a pro-European party and an anti-European Union party, and I think it's they like to kind of have it both ways in case one plot goes wrong. They've got a kind of plan B in mind.
Well, I hope maybe the anti-European Union policy makes the best of it. Anyway, we're out of time. God bless you, Mr. Bennett. Thank you so very much for being with us. And I hope maybe sometime you can come on again and we can pursue this. I think it's so vitally important.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WARP.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just comment. We have several books written by my good friend Ted Flynn, who's coming from the Catholic perspective. His book, Hope of the Wicked, talking about this move towards world government, which he fully opposes, and about the demonic forces behind it. Let me suggest The Hope of the Wicked. I think he does a fine job. Of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is written from a Protestant point of view, but we all recognize the same satanic force that is infiltrated all religions. This is the problem we have today. And of course, they can keep us fighting against one another. We're not facing the real enemy, who is Satan himself. And of course, his minions working within all the secret societies, whether they be Skull and Bones, or whether they be Masons, whether they be the Theosophists or the Rosicrucians, or the semi-secret organizations such as the Council on Foreign Relations, even the Bilderbergers. They're suddenly bringing out of the closet after having it kept it concealed there since 1954. We must be approaching the end, because they're suddenly beginning, within the Washington Post and the New York Times, of all places, to have articles about the Bilderbergers, this most secret of all organizations up until recently. But, of course, its purpose is the New World Order, the New World Religion, the people of great wealth and great power moving us in that direction. Well, we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to getting our material. We have a great four-tape set on the Pagan Agenda. And, of course, you have a Pagan Agenda special, where you can get all sorts of things going into the satanic nature of what we're up against. And let me suggest the book by my good friend Ted Flynn, The Hope of the Wicked, or his book about the spiritual battle, Idols in the House. And they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and I was just telling our local listeners that certainly the satanic forces have infiltrated all religions. They've infiltrated the Jewish religion, the Catholic religion, the Protestant religion, and they want to get us all fighting against one another, you know, so that we can't fight the real enemy, who is Satan himself and his minions. You need to get the book entitled The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Cobb, which goes into the satanic forces moving us towards world government. Now, you certainly want to get Gary Kaw's excellent book, New World Religions. I believe Ted Flynn's excellent book, and Ted's writing from it. Certainly the perspective of a Catholic, the Hope of the Wicked, and his book, going into what's happening to the average individual, Idols in the House. I recommend these books. We have a four-tape set entitled The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. And Malachi Martin, a Jesuit priest, a confidant of Pope John Paul XXIII, talks about the satanic influences within the Catholic Church, but they're within the Protestant Church as well. And this is what people really don't want to understand. You need to understand Masonry. You need to understand their influence on the Southern Baptist Convention. And it's been estimated that up to 40% of ministers have sworn their allegiance to the great architect of the universe, and that's not the God of the Bible we worship. Many of them didn't even know what the meanings of their oaths were when they took them. But once you've taken an oath to Lucifer, your whole outlook has changed. That's why you need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or watch our video, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or get the tape, or get all of them together in the Brotherhood of Darkness special, and understand what this is all about. Understand there is a move to unite Europe, and then to unite the United States with all of the countries of the Western Hemisphere, tonight unite all of Asia, perhaps around either China or Japan, and then once you have all of these countries, and each one will go from taking down the trade barriers, that's what they tell you, oh, it's about trade barriers, and then the next thing you know, you got a common currency, and then the next thing you know, you got a common government, and you've lost your sovereignty, and you got a police state, and in the name of fighting the terrorists, why we have to take away the freedom of the people. I wonder how many people know that half of the Patriot Act dealt with not that Islamic terrorism, not one mention of Islamic terrorism. Half of the Patriot Act, the USA Patriot Act, dealt with banking and control of the money. That's what it's really all about, ladies and gentlemen. You need to get the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, to understand the central banks. You need to get Professor Sutton's wonderful book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Let me suggest the video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 4-hour or the 10-hour version. If you watch either one of those, you'll realize that rock music is entirely satanic. And what are they singing about? Why, when the world will be as one, as we move into the new age of Aquarius and unite the world. This is what it's all about. Satan understands what it's all about. Isn't it amazing that the average American has no idea what it's all about? So help us get the information out. We hope many of you will join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of the Master Plan, it's really the Earth Charter, where they talk about in point 10, the new 10 commandments, but there's 16 commandments in this one because it's written by Mikhail Gorbachev and a couple of billionaires. And, of course, it talks about redistributing the wealth within nations and redistributing the wealth between nations. Ladies and gentlemen, they're talking about it impoverishing you. If you want to sit around and do nothing, why, you'll be like the people in Argentina, where half the population lives below the poverty line. Or you can join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Pray for America. Pray for revival. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection until tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.